Yeah! Kirk, I blew it. I blew it.
I buried the lead.
I completely buried the lead.
That what?
Slee was surfaced last night.
Oh, wow.
Slee was sent us an email, like to Emily, Funches, myself.
Okay.
I didn't look carefully. I don't know if anybody else was
He
on
missed
it.
You guys.
It was just us.
Yeah, it was
crew.
Us. Like, and Funch said something to me this morning that was so good because he goes, did you read the email from Slee? I said, yeah, that didn't sound like Al, did it? We said the exact same one. It was the most positive, up, like bubbly Alan Slee. Like, hey, guys.
Like the Lakers won three championships in a row.
Yeah, having a great time over here. Hope you guys are doing good. Can't wait to see you on Monday. Hope everything's good. See you then, guy. I'm like,
What is this?
Is this like a cry for help? Did he get abducted and we're supposed to
Did Lady Slee write the email or something?
Something.
Yeah. He was in such vacation Slee. It's nice.
Vacation Slee.
He sent some unbelievable pictures. He's on the other side of the world, literally.
Yes.
I think he's in Jordan right
now. Yeah, Jordan.
And he sent some of the most amazing pictures I've ever seen. An extraordinary. I can't wait to hear
He was
from
at one of the wonders of the world. Like,
yeah,
it was amazing.
It really was.
Picture of a camel?
Really, really extraordinary pictures. But he was like in this great mood that maybe Slee just needed to take a step back from the Lakers and the Dodgers and kind of recharge a little bit.
He's having his Phil Jackson Zen moment. That's
exactly
what it is. It's gonna be Laker related. You know, talking to Phil and
it always is.
Laker fans, you know,
always is. Eric Steven writes on Twitter. This is to all of us. It says, "Kirk, who are we kidding? That Python would apologize to Travis for also denying Trav some spices for a potential meal." Who's brave enough to disturb Travis's hunger? First of all, Eric, you're blocked. Second of all, fair enough. Look, if I need, like, let's say I need red pepper flakes, right?
Yeah.
Goes in a lot of things. Yeah. Adds a little heat, adds a little flavor.
I got you.
And if old Anaconda in there is blocking my way, I may try to punch my way through it.
Yeah, that's me with paprika, man. Hey, man, don't mess up my pap. Pap goes on eggs. It goes on steak. I mean,
it's on everything.
It's on everything, man.
A little,
I like
color,
a little, smoke
a little smokiness. Yeah,
yeah,
it's good. Also, we were talking during the break. Anaconda, because we were talking about the snake that showed up at the grocery store.
Yeah,
Anaconda has to be, and we're talking about the movie Anaconda with Ice Cube, Jennifer Lopez.
Who else was in there? I think it was like some under.
There was one or two other actors that we know by name.
Yes.
Those are the two that I remember. But that has to be one of the greatest bad movies of all time. Like, it's the special effects.
John Voight.
John Voight. That's who it was. Yes.
John Voight's in it. Ice Cube, J-Lo. And you're thinking to yourself, this movie is so bad, but every time it's on, you watch the whole thing. It's incredibly watchable for such a bad movie.
I will watch that movie to this day. If it comes
on,
you're watching it. It was perfect for the era.
Yes.
Like the era that it was in, like, because the cinematography has changed, right? trust me, special effects are a lot different in 2021 than it was. When was this movie even, when did it come out?
I'm going to guess.
97.
Yeah. 97, yeah. It's totally.
24 years old.
But the Anaconda, I just think of how creepy John Voight was and how he like got on the boat, and it was I don't want to give the movie away, but if you have not seen Anaconda,
you're okay.
But I want people to see it.
No spoilers on a 24-year-old movie.
Well, think about it. If kids born in 2000, they haven't seen Anaconda. They have to see what we've come from, right?
In the air, I have not seen Anaconda.
There it is.
It's as old as me, so I'm saying I haven't seen it.
We need you to go check it out.
It's
telling you. And plus, it got Ice Cube in it. So think about it. You got Ice Cube, gangster rap over here fighting a darn snake.
It's got 25-year-old J-Lo too.
Yeah, that is
just throwing that out. If that may be something that interests you, maybe you'd like to go see Anaconda. Yeah.
This is when she was fresh off the Selena movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like prime J-Lo.
My hand is way up in the air on J-Lo in that situation. So yeah, by the way, I'm open for your suggestions. At Kirk Morrison, at Travis Rogers. You can also call us 877-710-3776. Your favorite terrible movie, because Anaconda has to be a couple of those choices along the way. All right, let's talk about Clayton Kershaw. Travis Slee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. He was talking yesterday, and he was saying that he hopes to be ready to go by the time that they get into late September and in early October. And by that means be himself.
Correct.
Right? That he had a fastball-only bullpen session. He played catch yesterday, felt pretty good. Day off for him today. He's going to throw a more complete bullpen tomorrow. If you're getting closer to the beginning of the playoffs and Clayton Kershaw is not at his best, let's start right here. Do you have to have him? Because – I think you do. I think you have to have a healthy, effective Clayton Kershaw, and here's why. It's not because you can't win with only the starting pitching that you have without him. Mm-hmm. If you have Walker Buehler and Max Scherzer and Julio Urias going into any series, those three guys are going to pitch, you're in a really good spot.
Correct.
Okay, that's three really nasty arms that you're going to throw at people. But here's the rub. If you have Clayton Kershaw, now you got four, right? The three guys that I mentioned, and you got four guys total.
Correct.
What it allows you to do is exactly what you did in the playoffs last year, exactly what you did in the World Series last year, that if my starting three, and in a seven-game series, you really kind of only need three starting pitchers.
Right.
If I can throw Max Scherzer, Walker Buehler, and a healthy, effective Clayton Kershaw at you, what it does is it lets me have Julio Urias ready to go for the back end if I have to have it. Mm. If you go out and win game one, two, three, sure, give Julio Urias the start and go from there. But what it does, it allows you to, if you get into a situation like we had last year where all of a sudden, hey, Kenley doesn't have it, and he was great last night. And he's looked really good of late, and he deserves the credit. Picked up his 1,000th strikeout for the Dodgers. The only him and Rivera, Hoffman are the only three guys to strike out more than 1,000 guys in one uniform. So congratulations to him. But if he does struggle, and I think that he's going to, you have Julio Urias ready to go into that role that he was in last year and slam the door at the end. He's done it. He was good at it. And it is an unbelievable insurance policy, but you can only do it if Clayton Kershaw is healthy. If he's not healthy and ready to go, Julio has to pitch one of those first three games.
Yeah, are you talking long relief, or are we talking to get
outs? I'm talking the hammer at the end of the game.
Okay, so you're talking about outs at the end.
I'm talking the last three. What was it? He pitched three innings at the end of game six last year to lock it down. If you need him to get three outs, he'll get you three. If you need him to get six, he'll get you six. Kenley Jansen isn't going to get you six. He might not get you three. Blake Treinen's not going to get you six. He might get that. He gives you so many options, Kirk, that don't exist if Clayton Kershaw is not healthy.
I see what you're saying. Tough innings, right? We're talking about. I remember who was it? I was talking to one of my old baseball coaches I used to work with. He always just give me, tell me about baseball. Give me more stuff that I don't know as a player growing up, but as you as a major league manager. And I remember he would always say, Kirk, always remember this. I don't care what happens innings one through six. Mm-hmm. Baseball is similar to football. The final 4 minutes or the 2 minutes can make or break a football game. He said the final nine outs in a baseball game are the hardest nine. He said the first 18, it's easy. He said the final nine are difficult because now teams are going to take more chances.
They're going to grind you on every pitch.
You realize what's going on. If you're down by one, hey, we need base runners. Hey, if we're tied up or this, it's a little bit different. Or if we're up, we'll play the game differently. You'll pitch differently. And so to your point, you're going to need somebody in that 7-8. And Julio Urias did that last year. I was also thinking this, too, because I know yesterday I saw MLB pulled out the schedule for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the wild card rounds. And just say the Dodgers are in the wild card. October 6th. That's the first wild card. Wednesday, October 6th. Mm-hmm. Then the NLDS is not until, I'm looking here again, Friday, October 8th. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about time for Clayton Kershaw. Even if he's not ready for the division series, okay, is he ready for the NLCS? So you have almost close to almost a month and a
half,
two months.
Month and change, yeah.
That you can get him ready, that you don't have – think about it. You don't have to rush him for the opening series if the Dodgers make it. I would rather have a healthy Clayton Kershaw for an NLCS and a possible World Series berth than to try to rush him back and try to make him be ready for a division series game.
I hear you, and I generally agree, but I think there's a couple of variables here that make that a little bit different. Number one, Dodgers need to win the division. He helps you win the division. Instead of having a day where you're throwing eight bullpen guys, you have a day where Clayton Kershaw eats five of those innings, that's a big advantage. And it takes the pressure off Treinen and Vezia and Bickford and Jansen and all these guys that have done such a good job so far this season. It takes some of the pressure, because those innings, every day you have to do it, it adds up. Last night was a tough night on the bullpen. They pitched great, but it adds up. That's part of it. The other thing is, he needs to get stretched out. Right?
Similar to what Urias did the other day. Yeah. Like four or five innings, just get him out there.
Yeah, if you only need him to go three or four, then maybe you can just drop him into the playoffs at that point. But if you need him to go beyond that, you're going to have to start stretching him out a little bit along the way. You mentioned the wild card. Let's skip that. Let's.
I mean, it's still it's in a reality. You are who you are right now.
For sure. For sure.
The Dodgers are a wild card team right now.
No question about
it. So you have to keep that on right in front of you. You got to keep that on the schedule.
That's Kirk. I swear to you, that's all I was thinking about for the first eight innings last night of that game. All I'm thinking about for the first eight innings of that game last night, you got to be kidding me.
And in one swing at a bat.
This is the worst case scenario right here, where the Dodgers are losing 1-0, yep. Not because Walker Buehler he didn't give up any earned runs. You had an error that led to a run.
Correct.
You know, it was early in the game. It wasn't catastrophic.
Second inning, just
an error. They happen. An error leads to one run, but the dude on the other team is dealing, and you know if Will Smith pops that ball up,
yeah.
If he swings through it, if Will Myers goes back and robs another home run like he did earlier in the game against Corey Seager,
yeah.
All it takes is one game where stuff doesn't go your way and you're out.
But I think also too, remember, Blake Snell was brought into the Padres to be the Dodger hater, mm-hmm. to be the Dodger equalizer. And is that in the back of Tingler's mind, though, the manager for the Padres? He saw what happened last year with Tampa Bay and realized, you know what? I'm not going to allow Blake Snell to go through that last year. He's going to finish. And then, obviously, you saw what happened when he tried to finish. Like,
yeah.
It's the middle of August. Well, end of August. Let's say that. End of August. And yet, Travis, you're pushing a guy to pitch more pitches than he's ever done or go as far as he's ever done, and this is what happens. So, to me, I thought that's an advantage Dodgers, because now we know, as good as Blake Snell was last night, guess what, brother? You do have an expiration in a game, and that's that eighth inning last night. And right now, Dodgers have that advantage.
I hear you, and you're right. It was the longest outing of Blake Snell's career. And here's Jace Tingler, I can't phrase it the way that I want to phrase it, but he screwed up big time last night.
Yeah.
I did not have a problem with it. But Blake Snell had given up two hits all night. He was just mowing. I'm going down with my best guy out there.
Not 120.
I'm going down with my best guy out there, because until you get – he gave up one run.
Yeah.
He gave up one big hit. I was okay with that part of it. And even as a Dodger fan, I'm looking at that thinking, that's fine. The Padre bullpen, other than Melanson, has been a disaster.
But now,
they pitched pretty well last night.
It's in the back of his mind now. Think
it
about
is
it.
Now.
It's in the back
it
of his
now.
Mind. So you get to a wild card if possible. If it happens, Travis, because you got to talk about it. You got to talk about it. But now you get to the eighth inning and Blake Snell's pitching against the Dodgers. I'm over here licking my chops.
Blake Snell's probably thinking, how do I beat these guys? They take me out, I lose. They leave me in,
I lose.
I got nowhere to go. I like this. All right, so we're getting some good responses to our Anaconda topic. Great bad movies. Here we go. Street Fighter with Van Damme. That's from Gil. It says, actually, any movie with Van Damme. That's a good answer.
Yes.
James writes, every Nicolas Cage movie. I like that. That's a pretty good
Besides
answer.
Besides National Treasure. National Treasure is a national treasure.
Big Trouble in Little China from Jason Levine. Not bad. And we got some examples on the phone too. Let's go to Compton. Let's go to Eric. Eric, you're on with Travis and Kirk. What is your favorite bad movie?
Hey Kirk. Hey Travis. My favorite bad movie is Eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger and James Caan.
That is terrible. You're right. That's a good one.
It's so bad, but it's just like you said, Travis. It's so bad, it's good. My wife always asks me, "Why are you watching it?" And I'm like, I just have to because I'm a fan, but it's so bad.
I love it.
Oh, I got another one. How about this one, Travis? You remember Face Off?
Oh, great.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage.
Nick Cage and Travolta, right? Was that?
Yeah, where they
switch faces.
They take their face off.
That you're going to unscrew my face and bolt it on to John Travolta's face, and no one's going to know. It's like, I dare you to watch that movie and tell me the plot.
I don't even know the plot.
I dare you to tell me.
I just know that I watched it. I just remembered that I did watch it.
Eraser was a very thank you for that, Eric. That's a good one. Let's try Trenton. Let's go to Trenton. You're on with Travis and Kirk. What's up, Trenton?
Hey, how's it going? My favorite bad movie is actually Troll 2. It's so bad that they made a documentary about it called The Best Worst Movie Ever Made.
Troll 2.
Give me the plot. I don't know the plot. Are there any actors I would know? I don't know this movie.
Oh, absolutely no actors you know, probably. But it's basically these goblins take over a town, capturing people and turning them into vegetables that they'll just eat later. It is
horrible. Like vegetables like lettuce and cucumbers vegetables?
No. It's all alien stuff. But it is the worst over-the-top acting ever.
What about, I got some more. So hopefully I'm not outdating Emily by too much here. So Emily, you got to make sure you're listening up, writing these down. What about Tremors? Remember Tremors?
Oh, the worms in the ground? That's a great one. Kevin Bacon was in Tremors, yeah, I think, wasn't he?
But you guys don't know there's like a Tremors 8 and a Tremors 9. Like, oh, I didn't like, know that. There's like a whole thing.
I thought we killed all the worms. I thought we were
Tremors,
good.
Man. Like these little earthquakes.
And it's funny,
like,
you know, like the dad from Family Ties is in it too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but he's in every Tremors movie too. Like every 9 movies.
There was that movie, Jane Fonda. Not Jane Fonda. What was it? Bridget Fonda. Lake Placid.
Lake Placid, yes. I remember that.
The alligators in there. People.
It was like big giant alligators.
Alligator.
Oh, man. I got movies, dude. Like I keep thinking of all these movies because I'm not going to say that I was a latchkey kid. Yeah, no, I really was a latchkey kid. So I would have to watch that. I used to watch the stories and soaps with my grandma. That's, uh-huh. I mean, trust me, I'm named after Kirk Douglas, by the way. So just to let everybody know that. But.
Can you recite Spartacus?
No, I can't recite Spartacus, but, you know, my grandmother loves Kirk Douglas. My mom's like, oh, okay, so Kirk.
Yeah,
my dad was a Star Trek fan, so obviously Captain Kirk. But
there you go.
I can also throw this movie at you. And it messes with my mind because you talked about this the other day, Travis. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? Uh-huh. Remember we talked about that.
Who doesn't like that?
But sometimes if I get strawberry jelly, I'm always reminded of The Blob. Remember that movie?
Dude, yeah, that was terrible. Like,
that was another terrible movie, but you sat there and watched The Blob, man. I watched it.
So good. Like, phones are blowing up. I want to get more of these because these are all fantastic. We're going to get to more of your phone calls. That is coming up next. We got Factor Cap straight away as well. That's all right here. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
People love bad movies, Kirk.
They do. They do. I know that.
You know, look, if you can come up with a classic, good for you. But if you can come up with a good bad movie,
yes.
People are here for that because I'm getting dozens of tweets about this.
I love it.
We are loaded up on the phones. We are absolutely some of these are, I think, good movies. Some of these are other movies that I absolutely loathe. Like, we'll get into a bunch of these. Let's start with Mike in Los Angeles. This all goes back to what we were talking about, just to fill you in. Funch gave us a story about a lady in Australia who was shopping for spices in the grocery store, and there was a giant python in the spice rack, and she stuffed it in a bag because she's crazy, is the short answer. And then we got on to Anaconda with J-Lo and John Voight and Ice Cube and great bad movies, and now the next thing you know, we're talking to Mike in L.A. about RoboCop movies. Why is that on your list, Mike?
I have no idea. It's just the acting is so bad, but yet I have to watch it every time it comes on. I can't resist. Kind of like Predator also.
See, Predator's different.
Kirk got mad, Mike. You just stepped on a
mine. Great actors in Predator.
Yeah, there's some great actors in that, man. Like
Carl Weathers. Jesse the Body Ventura. Arnold
is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mean that Jesse Ventura was great in that movie, by the way.
By the way, have you ever seen Carl Weathers in anything and not thought, oh, that's Apollo Creed? I mean, he's a
that was the first time. Yeah, but that was the first time you didn't think
Happy
about
Gilmore.
Him.
I still, even when he was Chubbs, I'm still thinking, why is Apollo Creed teaching Happy Gilmore how to play golf?
He's, to me, he's always a former great San Diego State linebacker, by the way, Carl Weathers.
I knew he was a football player. Yeah. I didn't know he was a San Diego State guy.
Yeah, he's a linebacker from San Diego State. Trust me, I've had conversations with him about this. So that's how I have my my Carl Weathers connection there.
I like that. And by the way, the first RoboCop was kind of good in a bad, because it was just over the top violent.
Right.
You know, but who can forget when RoboCop drove his car through the guy that fell in the toxic waste and he was liquefied on impact?
Like, if you watch it now, it's like really, really bad special effects.
It is.
Terrible.
Like Terminator. Right?
This is what makes.
Well, is Terminator the same thing or is it different?
Terminator, when he cuts his face off, you're like, that looks like you're carving up like a Halloween pumpkin. That doesn't look real. But the rest of it, like the metal endoskeleton,
that's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That looks pretty good. All right, let's try another one here. Let's go to Camarillo and Sean. Sean, you're on with Travis and Kirk. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, Kirk and Travis? A movie that's my favorite that I think is really bad is The Princess Bride.
Okay. This is interesting, Sean. And I understand that, Kirk, what I'm about to say is a minority opinion. And maybe, Sean, you agree with me on this, because I think it's a bad movie, but I don't think it's a good bad movie. I just think it's a bad movie. I know it's popular. I know it's kind of a cult classic. I know, you know, you've insulted my father, you must die, Indigo Montoya.
Andre the Giant, man.
Inconceivable, and Andre the Giant, and a young Robin Wright. I get all of it. It's not funny. it's not. You can't convince me. Have you seen it?
I think I've seen it like once.
Yeah.
But it wasn't something that I'm repeatedly watching over and over again.
Yeah, I just cannot get with that.
Because there's classic movies, there's bad movies, but then there's good bad movies that you tend to watch every time they're on.
Yeah,
and this absolutely is one that if I saw it once, I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. It's not like for me, like Saturday, I'm trying to leave and you turn on TBS and Gladiator's on and you're like, okay, honey, I'm watching this for a little bit.
What makes a good bad movie?
Yeah,
let me rephrase this.
Yeah.
What a good bad movie can't be is points where you're just bored out of your mind.
Yeah,
that's right. True. And that's The Princess Bride. That most of it is just like, what am I waiting to happen right now? All right, let's talk a little bit about the Lakers, Kirk. Chris Dudley is an assistant coach
in
Dallas.
Excuse me.
I always do that. Jared
Dudley.
Yeah,
because Shaq dunked on him so bad.
He burned a tattoo in my brain with that dunk. Jared Dudley is on Jason Kidd's staff in Dallas now.
Correct.
There was a piece in the LA Times this morning, Bill Pulaski. What up, Bill? Yeah. Talking about how Jared Dudley wanted to stay. He wanted to stay as a player. He was willing to take a non-guaranteed deal. He was willing to earn his way onto the team. And Kyle Kuzma said that he was his favorite teammate of all time. LeBron, we saw his tweet, like, wait, what? He's gone? Anthony Davis loves him. Russell Westbrook loves him. This feels like one of those things. Look, Jared Dudley wasn't going to score 10 points a game for them. He probably wasn't going to play most nights. You know, he probably would play in fewer games than he didn't. But this feels like this could be a thing. That those little glue guys that you think, he could, you know, take it or leave it, they're important, Kirk.
Trust me, and this one hits home a little bit. I'm friends with Jared Dudley, been out plenty of times with him, and he's a San Diego guy watching him play.
Would you lose my number? I don't get a call when you guys are going out to do that?
I've known this dude since high school, man. Horizon High School in San Diego, by the way. All boys school that he played basketball at. And so when I first got to San Diego State, I had met him, and then he goes off to Boston College, and you know, they had a nice little run over there. So when he got to the NBA, we had friends in similar circles. And we've kind of followed each other's career. And so when I see him from time to time, we always talk about it. But then it was crazy to think that watching Jared Dudley's career toward the end, like the last couple years, I realized that I was Jared Dudley.
Mm.
Like I was Jared Dudley my final year and a half in the NFL. Years 7 and 8 for me when I was with the Buffalo Bills, I became Jared Dudley. I became the OG on the team, right? Mm. I became that veteran presence that understood what his role was. And I didn't accept it at first, you know, the first year that I was in Buffalo, because I'm like, no, dude, I'm a starter.
Play.
You know, I've started over 100 games in this league, brother. I need to be playing. They're like, no, we got some younger guys. We need you. And I always remember the head coach at the time, Chan Gailey, brought me up to his office and sat me down and said, look, Kirk, you're going to be on our team. So this is like during training camp. Like, you're going to be on our team. But we got some young guys who were just like you when you were young, and they need some fine-tuning. You're going to be here to help those guys out. You're an extension of the coaching staff. I've had numerous coaching opportunities, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've had coaches who would say, look, you would be great. And I'm like, I don't want to be a coach. It's just too much. But I understood what my role was. And my role is to be an extension of the coach, to go out there and be able to practice, tell the guys, hey, why this will work, why this won't work. But it was more so off the court, off the field. I was massaging the egos of guys and not understanding if they're playing this or playing bad, keeping them away from what the media was talking about. Like, I had to be not only a psychologist, I had to be a coach. I also had to be a player, and I practiced my butt off every single – that was the only way I was going to stay in shape, by the way, because you got to practice.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to just be that coach, but I understand the role that Jared Dudley played with the Lakers, and there's a reason why all of his teammates loved him.
Without exception.
He was the guy also, too, when they get on the road. He's setting up the dinners. He's setting up the chemistry. Like, people don't understand. It's not – these guys, when they leave that facility, when they leave El Segundo, everybody goes their own separate ways.
Yeah.
Jared Dudley's – his job was to keep everybody close. We're a family. We're a unit. I set up dinner over here. We're going to Craig's tonight. We're going to this steakhouse. We're going, you know, we're doing this as a team. And people don't realize the chemistry part of that is what leads to great seasons, championships. The teams that I was part of when everybody went like that, like you mentioned, just spread out.
They're usually not very good.
You don't trust them as much on the field. You don't trust them enough on the court because guys want to do their own thing. And this year, of all the years, is a year that Jared Dudley will probably be needed most with Melo, with Russell Westbrook, obviously Anthony Davis, LeBron James. You add in the Kendrick Nunns, you add in the Trevor Ariza's. These are some old heads. They got families. How do you get those guys back to understand we all need to be here as one? Everybody got something going on. How do we bring it all together as one?
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. I love what you said. And I think that there's a word that everybody was talking about when they were quoted about Jared Dudley in this is honesty. Yeah. He's honest, and he can tell LeBron James the truth.
Yeah.
He can tell Anthony Davis the
truth. Absolutely.
And you said it a second ago. You're getting into a season where, look, and I understand that I'm on a side of the Russell Westbrook deal that's not particularly popular. I don't think it's a great deal. I don't like the fit. Okay. Even if you're one of these people that do like the deal, I think you'd have to be really intellectually dishonest to say that there's at least not the possibility that there's going to be some friction with Russell Westbrook on this team just by the style of his play.
Right.
Russell Westbrook will listen to Jared Dudley. LeBron
Absolutely.
James will listen. Anthony Davis will listen. And you can come in there. They're far more likely to listen to his message than perhaps a coach.
Yeah.
That he's
They're not
going
to listen to Vogel in certain situations.
They're not. Yeah. It's going to be one of I know more than them. There's that dynamic. Now, you said another name that I think is really interesting, too. Not that he's obviously a more accomplished player than Dudley. He's obviously a guy that's going to – you're looking to get a little bit more from basketball-wise than Dudley. Mm-hmm. Could Carmelo be that guy? Could Carmelo be the guy that, look, been around the league forever, accomplished everything there is to accomplish in this league other than winning a championship.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony's a Hall of Fame player, but he also, I think, I'm not worried about Carmelo understanding his role on this team. I think he has a really good understanding of what they're going to ask him to do.
Right.
Could he be the Jared Dudley in the sense that I'm going to be the one that drives what you're talking about, the off-the-court stuff. I'm going to be the one that makes sure that LeBron and AD and Russ are all on the same page when they're not on the same page. Could he be that guy?
Yeah, I think so. And the only reason why is because I had a chance to listen to a couple of interviews of late, you know, because Dame Lillard's been in the news of recent, right, talking about, you know, I think he was went on an IG Live the other day, and people were saying, hey, what's going on in PDX? You going to be there? What's going on in Portland? Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm here as of now, or something to that extent. And to hear Dame Lillard talk glowingly about Carmelo Anthony and how he came in, accepted his role, but I think he was also the mediator between Dame Lillard and the organization, trying to calm him down. Like, look, man, this is who we got. We're going to have to work with this.
Yeah, because he could have hit the detonator and blown the whole thing up.
He could, if he wanted to, say, look, man, I'm out of here.
He could burn the place to the ground if he wanted to.
And I think Melo, it was so... Just Melo talked glowingly. He was on the all the smoke. That's what it was.
Respected too. That the other players respect Carmelo Anthony a great deal.
And I think everybody, just speaking of just listening to Dame Lillard talk about it, and it was an interview they did 2 years ago in the bubble. That's what it was. I saw that interview again. They replayed it. It was post game, and Dame Lillard said Carmelo Anthony, he's a Hall of Famer. He may not have the rings. But if you look at his resume, Carmelo Anthony's a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
So you got a Hall of Famer coming off the bench.
Yeah. Willingly.
Willingly, yeah, because he wants to. Yeah. And obviously the Lakers are going to open their arms up for him. But again, it does come back to a Jared Dudley is a guy who is not playing. See, Carmelo Anthony actually has to focus because he will have a role in the season.
He's going to have to make some shots. He's going to have to play.
Jared Dudley wasn't playing.
No.
He will be in street clothes at times. He's an extension of the coach, but he's watching the game and seeing things. Hey, Brian, right now, look, man, they're locking down the weak side, brother. Just letting you know. So you cannot go to that move tonight. They are locking down the weak side. That's a guy who's engaged in what's happening and sees everything, where everybody else is going to focus on a particular part of their role.
All right, we got a bunch of phone calls here on bad movies that you all like. Plus, I want to take the calls on the Lakers, too. Do you think that Jared Dudley going to become a coach and not being a part of the Lakers is going to affect them in their upcoming season? We'll do that. We still have Factor Cap to get to. And what in the world are we going to do with the problem of Cody Bellinger? That's all straight ahead. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Let me just put this out there real quick, Kirk, before we get back to our favorite bad movies, which, by the way, I love how excited everybody is for this. It's good. Can you imagine if Dave Roberts had done to the Dodgers what Jace Tingler did to the Padres last night?
It'd have been like, after every Dodgers loss. Fire him! Get him out of here! How many times has Dave Roberts been fired this year, by Dodger fans?
Dave Roberts, I think, does a really good job. Generally speaking, I think he's a really good manager. He does some stuff with his bullpen that you kind of scratch your head at every once in a while. But that's baseball stuff, right? Take him out, leave him in. That's the decisions that a manager has to make. And if I'm being perfectly honest, Dave Roberts has a better feel for that than anybody else on the planet, right? They're his guys. He knows. What you can't screw up is what Jace Tingler screwed up last night. He blew what is the equivalent of 1+1=2 in baseball manager. You have to double switch for that guy at that point. That because he didn't, when he put in a pinch runner, instead of flip-flopping the spots in the order, double switch. Yeah. Look, if you're a baseball fan, I don't even need to explain what a double switch is. We all know it's a way to skip the pitcher in the batting order for 8 more spots before he comes up again. And then you switch it again, you move him, so the pitcher never hits. He didn't do that. And because it was such a long game, all of a sudden that pitcher spot comes up twice with the game on the line, and you got to send a pitcher up there to get a hit in a must-win game if you're the Padres. And it's nowhere. That wasn't a decision that backfired. That was a simple execution of baseball fundamentals that he just – if Dave Roberts had done that, people would be storming the gates with pitchforks and torches saying, no way, get him out of here. That was baseball malpractice by Jace Tingler last night.
Yeah, and these are – again, these are things that come up, especially in the playoffs. Like, when you get there, you cannot have these kind of meltdowns. That's a meltdown. That's a bonehead mistake. That can cost you. So, yes, the Padres, if they don't make the playoffs, remember, I said at the end of the season, we'll remember this game for two different reasons. One, because the Dodgers won a 16-inning game where they didn't play particularly well because of the pitching from Blake Snell, but they found a way to win two different times, right? After going up, giving up the game, I mean, the game-tying home run, and then finding a way to come back and win basically again.
Two different times.
Yes, but yet when you look at the Padres, they'll come back to this game and said, we did everything right, and we still lost.
Two times in a row, the Dodgers were able to intentionally walk Manny Machado and Jake Cronenworth, who are good hitters, to get to the pitcher spot because you tanked it.
Yep.
It's inexcusable. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Travis and Slee brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Back to our movie stories. Let's go to Palm Springs. And David, you're on with Travis and Kirk. What's up?
Hey, good morning, everybody. I don't want to disappoint you because this is actually a real Anaconda story. Can I tell you it real quick?
Please.
It's crazy. Okay, my friend takes me over to his friend's place, and the guy has one of these anacondas that is in one of these big wooden boxes with a viewing glass. It must be 18 feet long. It's as thick as a bowling ball. He would throw, like once a month, he would throw a live chicken in there. So here's the kicker. I guess what happened, it got like maybe week three and it didn't want to wait to eat once a month. It pushed its way up, you know, and got the top off, and it went missing. And then the next day, the neighbor's poodle went missing. And then the day after, they find the snake on the lawn with a big lump in the middle of it digesting the neighbor's poodle.
Look, the anaconda is not Sliwa. It can't eat chicken every day. It had to mix up its diet a little bit. I mean, that's simultaneously, David, a horrifying story and yet kind of amusing at the same time.
And on National Dog Day.
I know. It's terrible. It was like he wanted a poodle strudel or something. I don't know.
Can I ask you a question, David? Did you just call just to say poodle strudel? I kind of feel like you did.
No, I actually thought of that while I was on hold. I just called for the snake story because I heard about the spice thing. And then you were into movies, and I thought, well, maybe they want to hear the real crazy anaconda story. But, hey, can I ask you guys something?
Yeah.
A little off the path. You know, I watched the Dodger marathon, and I understand that Mookie is coming back today. And as good as Pollock is playing, someone has to go to the bench, and I think it's going to be Bellinger. I mean, what do you guys think?
You're right on. Appreciate that story. That's, like I said, very scary and pretty funny. And I guess it's funny if you didn't own the poodle next door, but that's like Emily said, on National Dog Day, no less. I don't think – we were talking about this with DeMarco yesterday, Kirk. Yeah. Pretty easy, right? Cody Bellinger was 2-for-7 last night. Okay, Cody Bellinger's batting 172.
Yeah, he got a hit last night, though.
He had two hits. But he's batting 172.
Right.
This is not a bad week. This is not a bad month. This is a bad season followed by a bad season. Okay? A.J. Pollock is one of your more dangerous hitters right now. Mookie's going to play every day.
Yeah.
Chris Taylor's going to play every day.
Yeah.
If A.J. Pollock comes out of the lineup and you platoon him with Cody Bellinger, I don't know if you're Dave Roberts, how you look at the other guys in that locker room and say, I'm doing the best thing for the team. A.J. Pollock's a better player than Cody Bellinger right now. And I don't even have to emphasize it because there's really no debate. He's not as good of a defensive player,
right,
but he's a better player than Cody Bellinger right now, and you have to leave that guy in the lineup. You have to leave Chris Taylor in the lineup.
Well, what I'm seeing right now, too, from Cody Bellinger is that he doesn't have another pitch. And I'm talking about from a hitter perspective. He doesn't have another pitch. It's either a home run or he's striking out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know how to just make contact.
And he's not getting many home runs either.
He doesn't have to swing so hard I'm not going to lie to you. That's the reason why I got out of baseball, right? Mm-hmm. My junior year of high school, everybody knew either Kirk was going to hit a home run or he's going to strike out. That was just what it was. And then, obviously, for me,
I wasn't a pretty good football player.
Yeah, I was a pretty good football player, too. Yeah. But, you know, they threw me out in the right field. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I get it.
You're going to get your hacks.
Yeah, I'm going to get my hacks in. And I was a liability in the infield. So I was out in right field. But I realized that not everything has to be a home run. But for me, that's all you know. You can't change up who a person is. How can you change up who Cody is? And he's also won an MVP doing it, Travis.
Not that long ago. That's what's so crazy.
And he's got time to change, but the way that he swings the bat, this is just who he's going to be.
Okay, I'm not going to name drop right here because I haven't gotten permission from him to say this, but I was talking with a friend of mine who's a former major league player.
Okay.
We were talking last night about Cody Bellinger, and he said to me something that I've thought of for a long time. It's the first time he knows a lot more about this than I do.
Right.
He says the way he's swinging the bat, I'm not sure he ever comes out of this. He's lost. He's just inside out right now. He's missing the ball, et cetera. It's coming from a former major leaguer, so I'm going to take that with some real gravity. It's so bad. You know, Greg Bergman and I, producer Mason and I on the show, assistant PD here on ESPN 710, he and I text occasionally.
Yeah.
Greg and I don't trade texts every night. Okay.
Right.
Just to set this
but
up.
But you're texting people who you know are awake or are watching. And I know I know three Dodger fans that no matter what, whatever time of the game is, you throw a text at them, they're responding.
Yeah.
Quick.
Right.
Quick.
So Cody Bell, after Smith hits the home run, Cody Bellinger comes up and has one of the worst at-bats that I've seen in a long time. I pick up my phone and I start texting Greg to tell him how terrible that was. As I hit send, my phone goes bing, and it's Greg sending me a text at how bad Cody Bellinger's at-bat was. That's how bad of an – it was one of these – I have to tell somebody right now how terrible of an at-bat that was. He's lost, Kirk.
Yeah.
He's lost. Now
that's what I said, though. Mentally, I don't know if he's there.
He's swinging hard, which means every once in a while he's going to run into one and hit a home run. That doesn't mean that he's fixed it, because he had that week where he had a couple of doubles, he had a couple of home runs. You're thinking, okay, maybe, and then ice cold again. Yeah. If that guy's in the lineup on a regular basis heading into the playoffs or through the end of this, and Pollock continues to play well, we talked about Jace Tingler, managerial malpractice. If Cody Bellinger is a regular part of this lineup once Mookie Betts comes back, that's on the list too.
They got to figure it out, Travis. They got to figure it out. I got something here, too. I don't want to change the subject, but there's an outrage right now.
Ooh, Kirk is outraged.
Well, there's an outrage right now because Sony Michel picked the number.
Ooh.
Sony Michel, new running back for the Rams. He's at practice today.
Okay.
And he's got a number.
All right. I want to know what the number is, and I want to know what the outrage is, because you're a pretty mild-mannered guy. I haven't seen outrage in a while. We'll do
people
that next.
Outraged.
It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. Today is one of those days, Kirk, where I feel like we should have multiple more hours. We still have a lot of bad movies to get to.
Yeah.
We still have more Dodger baseball to talk about.
There's a lot more meat left on the bone.
There is. There absolutely is. Travis and Slee is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So give me the outrage.
There's outrage at Rams practice right now.
Okay. Because
the Rams traded for Sony Michel, running back from the New England Patriots.
Very quick before you get to the outrage. Do you like the deal?
No, don't like it.
Really?
No, I don't like it. There's something about Georgia running backs right now for me. You know, they were the former.
Todd Gurley was pretty good before he wasn't.
Yeah, but the expiration date came way too quick.
Yeah, fair
okay,
enough.
And you a guy who's along those same lines. Sony Michel had a great rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, beat the Rams. Remember for a Super Bowl
when
he was with the Patriots. But then, subsequently, actually before that season started, he had some injury history. And then last couple years, a little bit injury prone. And then also too. The Patriots kind of platoon running backs. He wasn't really the third guy. It was a mix between James White and Rex Burkhead, Bolden. Like, think about all the backs that.
No, they used a lot of guys.
They used a lot of guys. He was never truly like the bell cow or had. I mean, his role was kind of planned out, but I want to know what's that going to look like for the Rams. And only thing I'm saying is, Travis, this weekend is week three of the preseason, the final preseason game. People know who are going to make the team this weekend. And so the Rams can kind of scour and look around and could have probably got a better trade value in this. Maybe it's somebody who they targeted.
Kirk, as I look at him, he's a better running back right now than Xavier Jones. He's a better running back right now than Jake Funk. They're just guys that those guys are rookies.
Is he better or is he more experienced?
I think he's better because he's more experienced.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah,
I see that.
He's played in Super Bowls. He's played in national championships. He's played in some big football games. He's not going to have the big eyes at the big moment.
Right. I'm just all about what is he in pass pro. You know, yesterday I talked to former offensive coordinator Todd Haley. Right. He's a guy who I know. I texted him, Todd, like, what is he going to have to do in order to get the pass pro down for the younger backs? He was like, well, that's why you bring in a Sony Michel. Hopefully that he can be in and understand, you know, pass protection and can help out Matthew Stafford. Because if you miss, and look, we were talking about that. Did you see the hit on Justin Fields, the quarterback for Chicago?
Goodness, yeah.
Well, it's because he missed a protection.
Right.
You miss a protection, man, quarterback can get killed. You don't want to see Matthew Stafford go down.
Mm-hmm.
So that is of importance. But to kind of come back to your question, because I don't necessarily like the deal, I understand it.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say. Not necessarily I like it, but I understand it. But the outrage of what's at Rams practice from media members is that Sony Michel will wear – number 14.
Was he going to play quarterback?
I'm just saying. Number 14 in the backfield. Like,
run some routes?
And remember, this is part of the NFL's new jersey rule now that you can wear, like, you know, eligible players who can catch passes, they can wear any number between, I think it's one.
Yeah.
One through 44.
Uh-huh.
Or what I mean, one
and
through 49.
And then above 80.
And then above 80.
Yeah.
So, he's going to be number 14. Just like, remember how you said, like, we're watching number 17 is Kioski, is the wide receiver.
Yeah, it's still Robert Woods.
And it still looks Robert Woods, but we know Robert Woods will wear number 2. But a lot of outrage right now is Sony Michel will wear number 14 and not be a quarterback.
It's such a sports fan thing. And I completely, when you told me that, I'm like, what?
Yes.
That's a quarterback's number. One of the things, I love the NFL for a million reasons.
Right.
But one of the things I really liked about it is that past about 1980 or so,
right,
all the numbers made sense. You could just look at a guy's jersey number, and I got a pretty good idea where he's playing on the field.
Correct.
If he's wearing some in the 50s, he's a linebacker.
Yes.
If he's wearing some in the 80s, he's a wide receiver or a tight end. If he's wearing something in the 60s or 70s, he's an offensive or defensive lineman. It was easy. Like, you knew what they were.
I'm biased because I do college football. So I've seen everything. I've seen a defensive end wearing number one. You know what I'm saying?
Like that. Wasn't Clowney like number three or something like that?
Clowney was number nine.
He was number nine.
So look, I see it all the time in college football. I'm okay with it. But I also, too, I got to make sure I do preface this, though, that – he's number 14 now, and we know that the cut down date is coming up.
Maybe so somebody's got
there may be some more available numbers into what maybe he wore over with the Patriots. We'll see in the coming weeks.
Very good point. All right, let's get a couple of more bad movie phone calls in here very quickly. Let's go to Chino Hills and Chris. Chris, you're on with Travis and Kirk. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Hey, I take umbrage with that guy that said he's got a problem with RoboCop, by the way. First RoboCop movie is an absolute classic.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong, the sequels are garbage, but the first one is fantastic. That said, I'm calling in to tell you guys, Cutthroat Island. Have you guys ever seen that with Gina Davis and Matthew Modine?
No. Gina Davis has my eyes.
You have my full attention.
I'm ready. What's up? You got?
So basically, I mean, it's like a big, like, action-y, like, pirate movie before there were the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, but it's just way overacted, and it's just, like, just the dialogue, it's just crap. But, I mean, it's still got the really, I mean, I still like it because, like, the action bits are really good, but it's just, like, yeah. And I know it's a movie that was just generally panned. It's just really, it's not great.
I like it. Look, you had me at Gina Davis. I'm going to go. If it's on Netflix or Prime or something, I'm going to find it. Thank you for the call, Chris. Let's try one more here. Let's do Chris in L.A. Chris, you are on with Travis and Kirk. What's up, Chris?
Hey, fellas. You know, I'm going to do you one better than just one movie. I'm going to give you a whole genre. And that's the blaxploitation films of the 70s.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
I don't know if you know this one, Travis, but Blackula, which is the premise and the overacting are just incredible.
Yes.
Well, no, that's sort of. Yeah.
Similar,
sort of.
Yeah.
But Blackula is an African prince who goes to Transylvania and becomes a vampire. You know, so the overacting, the crazy premises. I love watching them. My wife sits there like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just so intrigued. I can't pull myself away because now you're looking at them like, how could they have watched this? But anyway, it's cool to watch all these old crazy movies that we know we really wouldn't watch now.
I love it. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, some of these, like, you go back and watch an old movie from, like, the 70s, and I don't want to go back to the 40s and 50s, A, because I don't know any of those movies, but B, those were, like, I'm pretty sure I could make those in my backyard in 45 minutes if I wanted to do it. But, like, you go and watch, I'm trying to think of a good old movie, like The French Connection, right? A good old cop movie, solve the crime, catch the bad guy, good movie. Then you watch these movies where an African prince goes to Transylvania and becomes a Dracula or a vampire. That just doesn't seem like something that you could sell to anybody, but there it is.
Yeah, I mean, look, Sharknado made history in recent...
Okay, so I don't know Blackula.
Right.
Was it bad on purpose the way that Sharknado... Sharknado's bad on purpose.
Right.
Was Blackula like that?
No, but I think what he was alluding to was like those 70s films were a little bit different in terms of... Like, it was just more shock value, I guess, and it was, with the times.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and watch it and figure it out all over. You know what? I lied. I'm going to slide one more in there.
Sure.
L.A. again, and Steve, you're on with Travis and Kirk. What's up?
Hey, guys. You kidding me? Steven Seagal out for justice with William Forsythe, the bar scene. He goes in and says, who killed, any reason why somebody killed Johnny Lucco? Johnny Lucco, man. And he takes on 18 guys in the bar, shoves one guy in a phone booth, takes on two guys with the pool stick. He's classic. And the other one is Above the Law.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Nico Toscani. Are you kidding me? I watch him every time.
Yes.
And as far as Bellinger, you trade him for Byron Buxton. A tiger never changes.
Did the twins go stupid all of a sudden? Did they? I lied. Look, Steve, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. If the twins say yes, sure,
take them.
let's roll. But that's kind of, hey, I'll trade you my 1983 Honda Accord for your new machines. It's not quite same thing.
I forgot. Do we slide in over the top as well?
Oh, good. I noticed you put your hat on backwards.
I did put my hat. I swiveled it to the back. When I have that over the top in my mind when I think about when I put my hat to the back, I think about Sylvester Stallone and that death grip that you had to go do some arm wrestling.
Somebody threw Roadhouse in there too. That's another great movie where guys just go in and wreck the entire place. You know what we're gonna do right now, Kirk?
Sure.
We're gonna do the dump.
Oh, man.
It's Travis and Sliwa on 710 ESPN. The Max Kellerman Show is coming up in minutes. It is the final segment of Travis Slee, and you know what we do for the final segment? It's got an unfortunate name, but a great purpose. It's all the stuff we didn't get to. We call it The Dump.
All right, Kirk, let me start with this. Are the Morrisons a dog family? Do you guys have a dog?
No, we just got a fish about, let's see, about 2 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah, a little beta fish named Bluey.
Okay, so you got Bluey.
Yeah, Bluey.
But no dogs.
No, Bluey. See, look, real quick, I know we got the duff here. Because Bluey is something that, hey, they wanted a pet. And I said, we're not getting a dog because you guys aren't going to pick up after this dog. You guys aren't going to walk this dog. It all falls on dad. I'm not doing it. So we're going to go get this beta fish, and you guys are going to learn how to, you know, take care of the fish. 3 weeks go by, and nobody's cleaned the fish tank. Guess who's got to clean the fish tank?
Kirk
Dad
Morrison.
Has to. So now I got to clean Bluey's fish tank, and y'all want a dog? Man, please.
Okay.
All right.
The reason
I had to
ask. No,
thank you.
I
had to get on my soapbox.
It's National Dog Day, and we're probably the wrong people to have. This is where we need Slee with Rookie because he's a dog owner. Kirk, I would say that as far as raising my children, I've done more good than bad.
Hey, you're putting them through college, man. You're doing good, brother.
We're making progress.
You're putting them through college, man.
If you asked
all three
of my kids what my greatest failure as a parent is, it would be the fact that I've refused to buy them a dog.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to be right with you, though.
I am just, and for all the reasons that you said, you had a dog. I did have a dog, and I love that dog. What's up, Murphy? R.I.P. Yeah. But the reason that dog was great for me, my mom walked it. My mom cleaned up after it. My dad paid all the bills to make sure that Murphy was fed, that Murphy went to the vet, that all these things. And all I did was occasionally when I felt like playing with the dog, I'd play with the dog. I'd pet the dog. I'd have the dog sit next to me while I'd watch TV and pet the dog. It was wonderful. I didn't have to do anything.
Correct.
And I don't want to have to clean up after the dog.
Exactly.
I don't want to have to take the dog to the vet. I don't want to do any of these things.
No.
So sorry, Rogers children, Morrison children. You're going to have to stick with the Blueys of the world.
Yeah, Bluey the beta fish. And maybe we may add another fish, but we ain't adding no dog.
At least we'll avoid being eaten by an anaconda.
Make sure that that's the problem, though. Even if you're doing your thing, that anaconda can get wherever it wants to go. It can come in the house. It could get in the backyard. It's
sidebar story. You know I watch the news every night.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a dog get trapped underneath the ground, and they had to they had to like literally break open a street to get this dog that slid through a manhole.
That happens like every week.
And it was I'm like, first of all, we're paying taxpayer money because some dog decided to go down a drain and get stuck underneath the pavement. So now the street has to be redone and all cars are blocked. I'm like, come on. I'm not saying I'm against dogs.
No, I can't,
but look, come on, man.
Keep going.
Like, come on now.
Look, there's.
Get your dog, people.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, amen. Keep singing. I am your guy. Congratulations to the Angels last night for finding a way to lose to a team that had lost 19 games in a row.
And
well
it was Ohtani's fault. Think about it. We can blame Ohtani for this because yesterday he got touched up.
He got hit around a little bit. But when he left the game, he did have the lead.
That's true.
That when they took him out, he did have the lead. This is the Angel season in a nutshell. Mike Trout was having another MVP season, gets hurt, missed most of the year.
Yeah.
Ohtani's doing Babe Ruth-ish, and nobody really seems to be all that impressed by it. And they lost to a team that had lost 19 games in a row.
I just knew I should have threw a couple beans on that thing, man. It was something that was in my mind to say 19 in a row lost. Ohtani's pitching. It was just too perfect of the situation that everybody would have been going Angels, and I could have won a couple beans where me and you could have went to lunch today.
Who's the worst team in the NBA? The Sacramento Kings are seemingly, at least they're in the top five every year.
Right.
Kings don't lose 19 in a row.
No.
You're not supposed to lose 19 in a row when you're getting a check.
That's bad.
That's not how that is supposed to go. We didn't even get to it today. Kirk, there's so many things. We'll talk about the Dodgers tomorrow, but I have trash can questions. Don't forget your trash can etiquette that we're going to need to get to. Kirk will be back tomorrow. We'll get started at 8:55. If you missed today's show, well, that's your problem because it was a great show today. But you can catch it on the podcast. Go to the ESPN LA Twitter page, and they will direct you right to it. Kirk and I back tomorrow, 8:55. All things Dodgers, get you ready for that final Rams preseason game. We'll see you at 8:55. Travis and Sleet.